I've decided to open my first savings account.
I've decided to reclaim my health.
I've decided to give faith
a second chance.
Time now for the I've Decided radio show, sponsored by I've Decided, an organization in Peoria designed to motivate people just like you to achieve your goals, from physical to financial health, to learning a new skill or being a better spouse. Now, I've Decided radio.
Good morning, Central Illinois. You are tuning in to I've Decided radio show this morning. We are so grateful to have you listening in. I'm Kim Martin, founder of I've Decided and host of your radio show today. And our mission is just to come at you on Sunday mornings and talk about some great topics, give you some information that can help you be successful in your goals, whatever they may be. I'm so excited to have my co-host joining me again this week, Coach Mark Dobler. Hey,
Kim.
Coach Mark, how are you today?
I'm really, really good. And I am really excited about the show this morning for everybody to listen to. I don't know if we've got any Frank Sinatra fans out there. And there got to be a few. I mean, even if you were born in the 2000s, probably there are still a few Frank Sinatra fans, even at that age, because he's so awesome. Well, one of his most popular songs ever was, "I Did It My Way." You know, right? And listen, I'm an entrepreneur in my heart. I love that. I love the idea of doing it my way. And I probably a lot of our listeners love the idea of doing it their way. But what if doing it your way is not always the best way? And I think today we're going to talk about something that hopefully will be really eye-opening for people. We have our guest, Joy Dooling of Joy of Membership. And we're going to talk to Joy about why it is so incredibly important to really be a member of a tribe or a community. And there's a lot to be gained from that. And so stick around. Make sure that you hang in there for the next 30 minutes because I think you're going to be really surprised at what you hear.
Yeah, and I think we hear the word tribe often these days, community often. And we just don't know how that can relate to us, you know, individualized. How do we bring that back to us? And of course, with I've Decided, we're always talking about the I've Decided tribe.
Absolutely.
And we are building a community of people who live decided and go after their dreams and are working towards their goals together and helping each other. So we're creating this community. And so Joy, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
I am so excited to be connected to you again. You and I, we kind of go way back. We've met at National Association of Women Business Owners, what, maybe like 12 or 13 years ago?
Yes.
Neither one of you look that old.
I know, right? We look so well. We never age. But yeah, we've been friends for a long time. We've connected along the way. And now, for obvious reasons, we've kind of connected back. I mean, I have a community-minded business, and you have a business that is geared towards helping businesses build communities.
Exactly.
So how ironic that here we are again.
Yeah, and so, you know, let me get the conversation started in that, because I was reading on your website, and you know, kind of how you got started, and if you want to share a little bit of that background, please feel free to do so, but I was seeing that in the early 2000s, you were doing your own thing, and you had some customers that you were doing business with, and of course, the economy started contracting, and I know if you're wired as an entrepreneur, that's a very scary thing, and so you began looking, okay, what do I do now, and what you noticed was that as other segments were contracting, the one part that wasn't were those clients that had membership orientation. And so I just really found that fascinating. So maybe you want to give us a little background to that, but I'm curious, why was it that when everything else was shrinking, that was staying solid?
Right. If you told me, you know, 12 years ago when I started my business that I would be talking about your membership communities now, I don't know that I would have believed you, because that is not what I started down the entrepreneurial path to do. I was just a generalist. I considered myself a business strategist, you know, help people create their business plans and, you know, work toward goals and things like that. And then, you know, mid-2000s, that recession hit. And I found that a lot of my small business owners were, they were drawing back because, you know, they were being hit financially. So, you know, as we all kind of made it through that recession period and I looked around at who was left, it was those organizations, it was the associations, it was the nonprofits, it was those that had really strong communities around them that were surviving. And as I looked at it from my perspective, I really thought that what those communities were doing was showing people that they weren't alone in what they were experiencing, you know, that they were all being impacted by the recession. So it was almost a unifying force there,
right,
that they were able to come together and work through it together. So it was a fascinating dynamic to see. You know, it illustrated the power of community, you might say.
That is a great story. And I think that is so true because we need each other. I love Coach Mark. Doesn't he have a great voice? He really does. And you never know when he's going to just, you know, go right out in to sing for us. So it's always a nice treat. Thank you for that, Coach Mark. But we aren't meant to go it alone. I firmly believe in my heart that we are relational creatures and we have to have support. If we are truly going to create that success, to be successful, to get to the end goal, we have to have each other.
Well, and if you think about, you know, as long as people have been around, we have lived in tribes and it's been a protective thing for us. You know, it makes us safer from predators that might be outside of our caves, you know, and that has grown even into modern days. Uniting with people who share our same goals make us stronger. There's a protective factor there.
Have you found that there's maybe a size number that winds up making a tribe or a community really highly functional, or is there just sort of this wide range and it really doesn't matter what the number is, it really matters more about the mission or why the community exists? I'm just kind of curious on that.
I think the purpose matters more. I think in today's world, especially, you know, with this influx of social media, there's such a focus on having, you know, a large following. You know, people want thousands of people following them. But there's power even in small numbers. If you have a small number of people in your community who are all working toward, you know, common goals and shared interests, you know, that's more powerful than you trying to do it all on your own. So I don't think you have to have thousands of people in your community. You have to have the right number for what you're trying to accomplish.
The right people.
The right people, exactly.
You need the right people in your community. So the right people meaning people who have the same mission, the same value statement. They're going to the same destination.
Well, and I think, you know, we as human beings need to share that experience with others and have them on that common journey with us.
So there are all kinds of communities and tribes out there. So I know as a listener, I'm thinking, how does that relate to me personally? Why would I, you know, a person in the community who, an average person who may not own a business that works and, you know, why would they see a benefit of being a part of some certain community?
Well, I think there are all types of communities out there and they all serve different purposes. But, you know, as an individual person living your life, you're going to run into communities in different ways. For example, probably the most common kind, I refer to it as a deeper dive. That's when there's a topic that you're really interested in and you dive deeper into it with a community of people who all share that interest. And you can think of that as, you know, it's a training group, it's a church, it's a summit, you know, that has a community around it. But everybody has that shared interest and they want to dive in deeper.
Go deeper.
Go deeper. Dive deeper.
So what you're saying in a way is there are probably people who are participating in tribes or communities that they don't even really realize that's what they're doing.
Right. I think if you walk into a room full of people and you feel like you belong there, I mean, these are your people, that's your tribe. You just perhaps didn't recognize it as a community. And that can be either an online experience or an offline experience, but those are your people. That's your tribe.
And I think one of the things that I want to share with the listeners, and I really want to say this, is that people, we need to invest, you know, in ourselves and in our tribe. We need to see the value of contributing to the tribe, of investing in yourself to, you know, I think a lot of times, because we, you know, there's memberships out there, you see them all over the place. And of course, there's always the coaches in these memberships, and they're earning a living from this. So most of the time, memberships are not free. I mean, memberships are usually paying members. It's, I right off the top of my head, I can't even think of a free membership, but most of them charge something. How do we build the value? You know, how does someone see that value?
Well, you know, last fall, I did an online summit, and I interviewed more than 30 leaders of membership programs. And I think the most fascinating thing about that experience was that none of them were the same. All of them were, you know, gathering different types of community. They had different types of financial models, different types of goals. And they had to articulate what the value was going to be for the people that they wanted to serve. So the value is really going to depend on, you know, what you're trying to accomplish and how bringing people together can make that goal happen faster and more effectively.
So I'm curious, because when you shared that, and you've got all these, this wide range of people that are trying to identify that, when you're working with clients that begin to try to create and promote the value of tribe or community, are they surprised at what they find out themselves?
Well, I think one of the things that I'm just personally good at, one of the gifts that I get to bring into this world, is that I can take lots of ideas and that passion that someone has and figure out how to package it and organize it. And I do think that that brings some surprises for people. Let me give you an example. I was working with a woman just this past week, and you know, we sat down, we did a strategy session, and she had these three types of people that she wanted to bring together in her community. So we started talking about each of those kind of three categories of people and what they were going to get out of the community. And it was a really powerful exercise for her to look at how that was going to happen, how they were going to come together, and how together they were going to achieve more. And I do think that was a surprising experience for her, because even though she had this idea rolling around in the back of her head for months, actually seeing it come together was a pretty amazing experience.
Yeah, it's like an alliance. You know, you're seeing these alliances in the business world, because in the small business world, it's very difficult for us to market and brand ourselves on a budget. There's a minimal amount of money basically that you really have to have in order to reach masses in marketing, because it's quite expensive. It can be very expensive. So one of the things that I'm seeing is businesses are creating these alliances, so that similar businesses are coming together and creating an alliance, and then they're pooling their marketing dollars.
Right. And it's interesting that you should mention that, because as I said earlier, one of the most common types of memberships is that deeper dive. But the second one on my list is the collaborative network. And that is exactly what you're talking about, where you have partners who, you know, have things that are complementary that they bring together to create a membership experience for their audience. And it's very popular nowadays. And it not only helps them conserve resources in serving the audience, but it gives the audience of members a better experience.
Yeah, and they feel like if they have under one alliance and you've got a few different things, like let's say you've got a plumber and an electrician and a roofer and a floor layer and window installer, and they put that all under one alliance. They're all different businesses under one alliance, and they market that strategically. They could actually share a website. They could share a radio ad. They could share a commercial, a flyer. And so then naturally, if I get my windows installed and they did a great job, well, I'm going to go to the roofer who's involved in that same group.
Yeah, so you know, let me sort of back up and take a maybe more of a 36,000 picture foot view here. Okay, so if you've got a somebody in our listening audience who maybe they run a business, but they want to do it their way, right? Because that's the American way. The American way is to do it your way. All right, so if you've had business owners that in the process of doing this are surprised by what they find out, how do you sort of break through that barrier for someone who wants to grow their business, expand their opportunity, but haven't been able to get past the idea of I have to do it my way? Because if I join with somebody else, then I'm giving up something of me. How do they get past that?
Well, I think that's part of the learning process. And I think where you see the value of the community really take off is when the person who is leading it, who started it, actually value starts happening beyond what that person has individually created. So when you see the community members start helping each other and bringing things to the table, and it's not all the business owner having to do it themselves, trigger it themselves, that's where the beauty of the community really becomes visible. And it's hard for a business owner to see that until it happens. And then that's when the aha light bulb goes off. They go, aha,
right.
This is where so the value of the community is.
How do you help them take that first jump to say, hey, I'm gonna get over my own preference here, and I'm gonna trust, you know, Joy or someone else to help me figure out how to really engage in tribe community membership thinking?
Well, I do think that I have to admit that the first thing that a lot of business owners are thinking about when they start planning a membership is recurring revenue. You know, they're doing it because there's a stability in revenue there that comes from having people pay membership fees. My challenge in working with them to start is, okay, we're going to acknowledge that that's one of the goals. But a secondary goal is, you know, how can we get your community members to co-create this with you? How can we find collaborative partners to co-create that with you? And they may not be completely bought in to the concept of that in the beginning, but it will come to be important and powerful. They just might not realize it on day one.
Absolutely. I agree. And I think once a person gets into the right community, the value will build itself naturally, I think. Hey, if you are just tuning in, you are listening to our I've Decided radio show. I'm Kim Martin, one of the hosts of your show today. My other host joining me is Coach Mark Dobler. And we are talking to the awesome guest, our awesome friend and guest, I should say, Joy Dueling. And Joy has a business called The Joy of Membership. And we are just kind of talking around the table here about why you should be involved in a tribe, the power behind the community of a tribe and what you can do. And so, you know, that brings me kind of thinking about the impact. You know, the impact of more people is more impact. I mean, it's simple terms, but...
Right, it's a multiplier, not just an addition factor.
Power in numbers.
Yes.
Power in numbers.
And so there is power in numbers. So if there's something that you're very passionate about, that's the first place you might want to look when you're thinking about where do I find my tribe? Who's my tribe? Who are my people?
And there are all sorts of different ways to bring that to fruition. I mean, you can have a hobby that you absolutely love. So you can have a community where, you know, people are sharing quilting patterns. You can have a community where, you know, people are coming together to share marketing ideas. You can have communities where people come together, you know, for group buying and group discounts. You can have communities where people come together to lobby against legislation that's going to impact the industry. But it's all about that power in numbers, that, you know, how can we create more impact together than any one person can have alone?
Yes. So well said. I love that.
So is it possible? I absolutely, positively believe in the productive and positive power of being in the right tribe. On the flip side of that, is it possible for people to wind up in a wrong tribe? Is there such a thing? And if so, I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
Oh, I absolutely think there are tribes where, you know, you're there and it just doesn't feel right. And it can be a poor match because not every group is right for every person. So I think if you find yourself in, you know, in a community and you're thinking, this just isn't fulfilling my spirit. It's not taking me where I want to go. It doesn't feel right. I'm not energized by the group. You know, it makes sense to look at why that might be. Is it that the purpose of the group isn't aligned with your purpose? Or is it that the activities that they're using to drive forward to the goals aren't a great fit for how you like to learn and engage? Could it be that there are some people there who are souring the experience? I mean, all of those things can impact how a community feels to you. And if you look at those things and you don't see a way to fix those for yourself, then maybe it's time to find a different community that is working on what you want to work on, that, you know, shares your purpose, that's doing it in the way that you want to engage. You know, I think it's absolutely possible to switch communities and find something that is a better fitted for you.
So nobody should just feel stuck.
No,
right. I was going to say, I think that it's perfectly fine, you know, to try out different communities until you find the right one. You know, I think there's a difference in, there's this old saying, wherever you go, there you are.
Wherever you go, there you are.
If you're leaving because the grass is greener, that might be something you want to look. That's a self-reflection, right? But if it's just truly not a good fit, because like what you just said, Joy, I think you hit the nail on the head. If maybe the end goal is something that you believed in, right? You saw the value of raising money for this particular organization, let's just say. And you saw that value and like, this is my tribe. But then all of a sudden, they're running and doing 5K races and this is how they're raising money and you hate to run.
You're a couch potato.
But I'm just, it's funny because I know you don't hate to run. In fact, I'm so excited. Speaking of tribes, we're going to be doing the St. Jude Run together this summer. You got your group joined the same little tribe that I run with. So that's exciting.
And I'm a first timer. So it should be interesting.
So this is not necessarily the best example because you personally are a runner. However, assuming I just made all of that up, you weren't a runner and you hated it. Well, then there's an example of, it wasn't that you didn't see the value of the end result. It's just that the way they were going about getting there wasn't anything that you were interested in.
Well, and I also think that we're all on a journey, and it could be that a community serves your needs at a particular point in a journey, and then you evolve beyond the place where you know, you're receiving benefit from that community. So you move on to a new community that's going to, you know, take you the next step in the journey. I have a, you know, example of one that I'm working with right now, a community that I love, I actively refer people to. But for where I am now in my business, I've outgrown it personally. I still really value what they're doing. I'll still gladly refer people. But for me personally, it's time for me to move on and find my next thing beyond that.
And again, using the same analogy that I just used, you got friends that are runners. And so you might not have worked out for you, but then you might be talking to another business friend and they are on the same mission to support this particular group. And you go, oh, you would love that tribe because they run.
Absolutely.
You'll love it. And so it's not a, you know, we all have a purpose. We all have a plan. It's just about fitting into that and contributing. One of the things that I think is so important too, when we think about being a part of a tribe, we've been talking a lot about what an individual gains from a tribe.
Right.
This is what we get. This is how we feel. Is it doing something for me? But I don't think it's fair to say you can be a part of a tribe or community if you don't contribute. So I think there's a a part that has to be a contributing factor too.
Absolutely. If you aren't participating in the community, it's going to be very hard for you to get value. So absolutely be looking for a way that you can participate and you can contribute and you can bring something to the group.
You know, as I was reading your website, one of the things that you mentioned, and I found it really kind of a fascinating statement, and I don't know if this, I can't remember if this is an exact quote, but I think you said that community is intimately small and magically big at the same time. So is that sort of what you're referring to, or is there a larger kind of meaning behind that?
I love that.
Well, I think I was feeling very creative when I wrote that.
You are very one night. Creative.
But I do believe that that is absolutely true about community, you know, and it goes back to what I said earlier, that I think people today, especially with social media, are very focused on large numbers and thinking that they need to have that for their community to be worthwhile. But I think wherever you have a group of people come together, you know, with like minds and working on shared goals, I believe there's power in that. Which is participatory. And, you know, what you create in that small community can have very big impact. So that's where the big magic comes in.
Yeah, it's kind of like dynamite comes in small packages, right? Because the truth is that I'm sitting here and I think, you know, you can have way more impact with 20 people who are all aligned together on the same team with the same idea as you could 100 people who are all mixed match. You're not gonna have the same impact.
Yeah, I love old Lou Holtz. He's one of my all time favorite coaches, and I can't remember that if this is an exact quote. So that I'll just sort of paraphrase his quote, but it was something like this: is that you can get farther with 10 people rowing the boat in the same direction than with 20 people with 3 rowing in the opposite.
That's exactly what I was trying to say. That's what I get when I read that, Joy, where you said intimately small and magically big, because if it's an intimately small group of people, and it's relative, 100 people could still be intimately small. Right. It could be 20, it could be 100, it could be 1,000, depending. It's all relative. But that intimate group of people can make a far bigger impact, which is the magically big, if they're all on the same page.
Well, in that summit that I mentioned earlier with the 30-ish different membership programs that I interviewed, the smallest was 25 and the largest was 90,000.
Holy cow.
So, I mean, you have a huge spectrum there.
To say the least.
The idea is that each of them were creating an impact in their own way. They were all gathered around their own specific movement that they wanted to create in the world. So 25 people, 90,000 people, you can create a movement.
And I think it's important that we spend this last little minute here we have, because I bet you there may be some listeners who think, oh, I've got an idea for a community, or maybe they already have a community. And I want to make sure that they know you are available, Joy, to help them. In fact, we're grateful that you're helping us build our I've Decided community, and we're thankful to have you a part of our group.
And I love every minute of it.
That's awesome. And you can always find Joy. She's listed as a business resource at ivedecided.org on our website. In fact, all of our business members are listed as resources on that page. And we got to always give a shout out to, we have almost 60 business members now. And, you know, these are business members who are part of our tribe. And they're a part of our tribe because they care about you and they care about your success and they care about being a part of a movement that helps you to be successful. That's the beauty of our tribe. And so you can find Joy there. But real quick, Joy, do you have any favorite way, means of them to reach out to you, that you like to share?
They can connect with me through my website at joyofmembership.com. All day, every day, I'm having conversations with people about their passionate ideas and how to create a community around those.
And I think community is where it's at.
Absolutely.
That's just the bottom line. Whatever it is you want to do, wherever you're going, you need to hook in and connect with a community, find your tribe, get involved, and get busy. Get busy doing it.
Whatever, make it happen.
Make it happen. Get busy doing what you were put here to do. We'd love to be your tribe. We'd love for you to join I've Decided and join us in living a life decided. Again, check out our website, ivedecided.org, and join our tribe. Come visit us. Check out what we're doing. We want to help you be successful in your goals and dreams. Coach Mark, thank you for joining me today.
My pleasure.
And Joy, always a pleasure to be around you. I love learning from you. You're awesome.
Thanks for having me.
Yes. All right. Thank you guys for listening to our radio show this morning, and we hope that you'll join us again next Sunday.
Thanks for listening to I've Decided Radio, sponsored by I've Decided, a local organization designed to help motivate you to reach your goals. Listen every Sunday morning at this time for I've Decided Radio. For more information, go to ivedecided.org. What will you decide?